It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio on the pre-4th of July weekend. I hope wherever you are, you have a great 4th of July and you're headed outside. It's just a fabulous time to do things with your family, which, as I learned a long time ago, builds memories and traditions that help shape the rest of your life, as so many of you know. And this morning's guest is a longtime friend of mine and one of the individuals who's making a real difference in America when it comes to how our lands are going to be managed, how wildlife is going to be viewed, how fisheries, the whole experience of our outdoor recreation heritage. And that's Zach Lowe, who is the director, the national director of the Conservation Leaders for Tomorrow program. Zach, thank you for joining us this morning from beautiful West Lafayette, Indiana, or close to there.
Oh, thank you, Charlie. I appreciate the kind introduction. It's good to be here.
And I've been meaning to do this for a long time with you, Zach, but every time I think about it, it's usually in the fall, because that's when academic season, of course, starts. And you like to spend your falls in a deer stand. So I promised you that we would do a show when I didn't have to pull you out of a deer stand, which I know is very important to you. So, Zach, let me start off by asking the question that I was asked years ago by Steve Williams, the director of the Fish and Wildlife Service then for the U.S., the U.S. director. And the statement was, I'm having a terrible time hiring qualified people, individuals, to come in who have a heritage of hunting and fishing and understand the economics and the entire way, the entire engine of outdoor recreation as it pertains to land management, hunting, fishing, and science. So that is how I originally met you. So I'm going to ask you that question that Steve asked me in more of a statement and say, so what have you done about it?
Yeah, sure. So it's an interesting question, and one that is really representative of changing times and priorities kind of across the spectrum of natural resources. So not only within our state and federal agencies have our priorities for managing wildlife changed, but they've also expanded a great deal. And so now our fish and wildlife agencies are not only charged with game and non-game management, as we would maybe traditionally call it, but they also are increasingly charged with a ever-growing list of environmental responsibilities that may range from clean air, clean water, compliance, legal reporting. And so as that's expanded, the folks that work in those agencies, their skill sets have also expanded, and they've not always expanded to include a traditional background in understanding the consumptive uses of wildlife. What that means is we don't hire as many hunters, anglers, and trappers as we once did to manage those resources and help make those decisions. So what the CLFT program has done is we go back out and we look at those agencies, state and federal agencies, but we also look at the universities around the country that are training our professionals for the next generation of managers. And we ask them to identify those that are in leadership positions, that are headed towards leadership positions, that demonstrate strong and good decision-making power. And they didn't grow up in a family, they weren't raised in a culture where they have a personal awareness of hunting. And we run them through a week-long course. And those are held across the country, but many of them are held right in the Chicago region at the Max McGraw Wildlife Foundation. So we bring all these individuals in and we expose them to a week-long course that talks about all the virtues and values of hunting and the role it plays in conservation. But we also talk about the culture behind that, what motivates hunters, and then how hunting directly impacts conservation, not only through financial means, but also through actual measures being put on the ground by the hunters themselves, right? Many of these folks own property, manage property, and they can be some of the strongest allies for conservation, as we all know, to the wildlife community.
So, Zach, as we've moved from an era, we're visiting, by the way, with Dr. Zach Lowe, who is the national director of the Center for Conservation, excuse me, the National Director for Conservation Leaders for Tomorrow program, which is a program of the McGraw Center for Conservation Leadership. Zach, you are running the program that is basically a standalone in America that is bringing individuals who don't have an experience into this, who are going to be running fish and wildlife agencies. They might become the director of the Department of Natural Resources. They could become the senior attorney for the Department of Natural Resources or any state. How do you, when you meet with these individuals and put them in your workshops, this is the future of wildlife management. They've never had an outdoor background. In 5 days, what are you trying to impart on them which will change their lives or at least help them understand the role that hunting and fishing and wildlife management plays in our heritage?
Yeah, so the advantage I think we have is a very tested and well-developed curriculum. So we have about 150 instructors nationally, and some of the very best minds from the conservation world over the years have helped shape what this curriculum looks like. And so we have some very kind of core principles that help deliver that. We remain very apolitical in how it's delivered. We present the best science that we have on hand on all these various topics. But we try to relate to them that the hunting, angling, and trapping constituency base, which provides the majority of the funding for all wildlife conservation in North America, we try to convey to them what their values are, what their motivations are for being involved in this activity. And we talk that it ranges everywhere from deep family traditions, which, for many are similar to the same emotions evoked from church, from family reunions, from holidays, all of those kind of core cultural values. But we also relate to that there's economics involved with this, that this is a core business for many people throughout the central part of the United States and the Midwest. We relate to them that these people bring to the table a whole host of dedicated experiences and that those experiences have value and that their decisions as natural resource managers impact that. And so we try to set for them a way to help understand the culture, but also understand how that culture can help them achieve their conservation missions back at their agencies. We get a pretty varied group that comes in. So everybody's professional responsibilities or aspirations for the college students are always a little bit. So it really provides a rich conversation. One of the other primary things we do is we provide a safe environment for them to go out and experience these activities as well. So they get some time on the shooting range with live fire to shoot clay targets. And through the week, we kind of progressively take them from baby steps. Some of these folks have never handled a firearm before, to not only shooting at clay targets, but they're empowered to go on a mentored upland bird hunt by the end of the week if they so choose. And that's a really meaningful experience for many of them to literally get out and walk a mile in a hunter's shoes. And they find that to be an incredibly powerful and relatable experience.
So, Zach, before we head to a break, is there CLFT, Conservation Leaders for Tomorrow, at this point is trained, well, I guess about, not trained, but has exposed, well over 1,000 individuals who will be in leadership positions at some point or already are in leadership positions. If the Conservation Leaders for Tomorrow program did not exist, Zach, where would these individuals get the kind of experience that you're providing them for the jobs that they have? Is there any other place they can go?
No, there's really not. And that's probably one of the most concerning issues is that we are the only group around doing this right now. And it's one of those, the reason we do it is because it's the right thing to do. It maintains our hunting heritage at a national level. But it improves wildlife conservation at a national level as well. And without it, the problems that you and Dr. Williams discussed in the early 2000s, which were lamented by so many other state and federal wildlife agency directors, we wouldn't be any further to having solutions to that.
So they wouldn't get this experience. It would be baptism by fire, if you will, from the point of view they are put into positions that they're expected to manage our natural resources, and they don't have the qualifications. And I guess SAC, when the whole, it'd be a little bit like suddenly stopping having accounting schools, classes, and then going to try to find accountants. That's what we ended up with in the natural resource world, where we're faced with an entire generation of individuals entering the field who haven't had the kind of traditional experiences that that always was there. Ever since wildlife management's been started, Zach, I guess we thought that individuals would enter the field who had an interest, and not an interest, but had experience, hands-on experience in the world that they were entering. And obviously the world's changed, we're ever urbanized, and now we find ourselves with botanists, nothing wrong with botany, but botanists running $100 million fishing programs, and they might not know a salmon from a largemouth bass. So conservation leaders, I guess what you're saying, Zach, is conservation leaders from tomorrow is it's the only place they can get this kind of experience. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. And I think the best way to view that is not only is it the only place they can get this experience, but it's the only place they can get this experience, which is presented at a professional level. So the curriculum is designed to be above the graduate level, even in out of the college classroom. So this is really mid-career professional development training that they go through with CLFT. So it really empowers them not only personally, because it makes them a better employee, it makes them better able to interact with the constituency that provides the funding for conservation, but professionally, it really allows them to take what things to the next step and become a better conservation steward within their agency. And so it's a pretty good way to realize impacts, a pretty good return on investment right after they attend our programs.
Well, we're visiting with Dr. Zach Lowe, who is the National Director of Conservation Leaders for Tomorrow program. And Zach, you're one of the individuals who is making a difference in the world for the future of conservation. We're going to take a quick break. And Zach, when we come back, I'd like to talk about something else that you're involved with, which is central to the future of wildlife management. And that is the whole discussion of trapping and how trapping can continue again in a society that is ever detached from the land. So thanks so much for being with us. And for those of you listening, I'll be back in just a moment. And for those of you just joining us right after the break, Zach Lowe will continue with us. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. First, a message from your Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoor Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. Thank you for listening this morning on the preempt to the 4th of July weekend, the largest, certainly across America, the biggest weekend of the year to be outdoors. And one of the things when you're outdoors this weekend, you might see skunks, you might see raccoons, you might see fox, coyote. And I have on the line Zach Lowe, who is the National Director of the Conservation Leaders for Tomorrow program, which deals with the education of individuals who are going to be having careers in natural resource management. But also, one of the things, Zach, that I understand you do and do well is you are working to try to have trapping better understood so that we can have some semblance of land management where it's necessary. So we've got a few minutes left, Zach. Can you just talk a little bit about trapping and where it is today and why the Fish and Wildlife Service and yourself are interested in facilitating the education of why trapping matters? And I guess that's probably a trademarked line for the program. So, Zach, tell us what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. So regulated trapping can be among the most contentious and least understood of all the programs within an agency's wildlife responsibilities. But it has the greatest potential to impact conservation on a number of fronts, which range everywhere from endangered species management and promotion to waterfowl production to public health issues. And so what the Trapping Matters program has done, it was started kind of coming out of the 90s when the animal welfare concerns were kind of at their peak in the United States. And there was a near constant barrage of assaults against trapping and hunting and even catch and release fishing That from that, the agencies around the U.S. said, we really need to get our fur bearer biologists together, and we really need to figure out, is there a way we can improve our understanding of trapping? Because not only is it largely misunderstood among the American public, it's also misunderstood among state and federal wildlife agencies and even the hunting and angling community as to exactly how trapping works, what the kind of humane treatment standards are of animals throughout trapping, and what benefits it has directly to society.
So if there was no trapping in America, if the, I would say, the uninformed and those with an actual agenda to stop trapping, if they were to be successful, Zach, what would happen?
Yeah, so it's a pretty bleak outlook in that regard. And there has been some instances, some case studies, we can even point to small-scale examples of this. But with the loss of trapping, we would lose the ability to maintain many of our fur bears, which are found in abundance throughout the United States. And this includes everything from coyotes to raccoons to red fox, muskrats, beaver. So there's a whole host of species which have certainly benefit from being on the landscape, and we want to maintain them and regulate them at a balanced level. But when those species come up in abundance, we see a number of problems that really impact the quality of life for people. And for people that maybe don't even interact with the outdoors, don't live in rural settings, because it can be everything from the spread of disease, which affects people's pets, to the stop of clean water, water flowages, decimations of dam levees, overgrazing of aquatic vegetation for wetlands that keep clean water, and the predation of all wildlife, particularly avian species, through their nest. We can lose a lot of young, so we see declines in songbirds. It's really kind of a cascading effect when we have this overabundance of fur bears. And even though trapping is done by relatively few, it does a very good job of help keeping all these things in balance. And so the returns it provides society are significant compared to the relatively few people that do it.
Well, Zach, you are helping on two fronts, I guess, as we've learned this morning. Through your work with Conservation Leaders for Tomorrow and Trapping Matters, really pulling together an understanding of the outdoors, which I guess many of us just think people inherently have, because you and I and others spend a lot of time in the outdoors, as opposed to the reality where we have so many individuals who may love birds and love wildlife, but not understand the dynamics of the interaction between species and the need for management. And one of the things, Zach, we got about 2 minutes left, so I won't make this a monologue, but one of the things, Zach, that strikes me is that we have this sense of society, nature just takes care of itself. And obviously, man, in one form or another, has been managing nature for thousands of years now, whether it be through fire or whatever it might have been. So in about a minute left, Zach, if you were to offer a takeaway to those people, those of us listening this morning, what would you offer as to the best thing that an individual could do if they wanted to learn a little bit about the interaction between wildlife species and why trapping and land management, species management, is so important? I realize it's a long question, but if you can boil it down into 60 seconds, that would be great.
Yeah, so I think the important thing to understand about trapping is that it delivers goods and services back to all of our citizens. So it improves the quality of life, not only for people, but also for wildlife as well, by holding things in a balance. It's important for people to remember it's regulated. So this is not done lightly. There are state and federal agencies that monitor all this. So there's a very monitored and regulated system, and that the benefits really extend beyond kind of the larger societal benefits and having a healthy, balanced ecosystem. But I would encourage people to remember that when it comes to things like endangered species, many of the trapping methods we do to save endangered species and bring them in and protect them and then release them and allow them to be delisted, those are all done through regulated trapping, through the same methods the trappers use on the landscape every day. And so there are standards of animal welfare built into the system, and that system's very sustainable and very effective at improving the condition for all wildlife.
Well, thank you, Zach, so much for being with us. Dr. Zach Lowe, National Director of the Conservation Leaders for Tomorrow program. Hope you all have a great 4th of July. I'll be back next Sunday morning with much more on the great outdoors. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.